Here's a quick look into today's episode.
Vincent Torres, I'm 21 years old. I joined the Army July of 2021. Anything that anybody told me to do or anybody asked me to do, I said, let's do it.
I'm Second Lieutenant Keck. I'm a recent graduate of Texas A&M University. Currently at Bullock, about 3 weeks left until I graduate and PCS to Fort Cavazos. And then shortly after that, my brigade's heading out to Poland.
I'm Clay Cashman, go to University of South Alabama. I'm soon to be commissioning as a Second Lieutenant in the Army. After that's done, I'll get my Bullock
day. My name's Jesse Weinhart. Just graduated from college last year, went to California Maritime Academy, getting ready to start a career in the military.
Yes, I'm Donald Neal, commissioned in 2022.
Fell in love with the culture that my dad was in, where it was just like, it was so people-oriented all the time.
I wanted to be in a little bit of a diverse and urban area, so I decided to go into the Naval Academy, and don't regret my decision at all.
So I am Joshua Knight. I'm a Sergeant First Class in the United States Army. I'm currently at the University of Central Arkansas in Conway, Arkansas, the city of colleges.
I was kind of headed in the wrong direction.
My dad was in the Army. He didn't talk about it. He was in Vietnam, did 6 years. He passed away, unfortunately, when I was really young, at the age of 14. I saw what kind of dad and father he was and how other people really adored him. I essentially followed in my father's footsteps. And my mom kind of was like, hey, have you thought about the military? Because I was a hard-headed, I'd like to say a punk kid. I would say my father, by far, was my motivation. And then
welcome to another episode of Teach Me to Fish, where our purpose is to help leaders better understand what drives people. In today's world, the core of recruiting and retaining talent revolves around leadership, and not just average leadership, but motivated, values-based, inspirational leadership. Our purpose is to get a little bit better every day. Progress equals small victories and stacking habits. Habits like getting up early, working your butt off, learning something new, being positive, and surrounding yourself with phenomenal people. In today's episode, you'll hear from a collection of people that I've got to know through my time in the Army. In several cases, they are kids who I met when they were in high school with my boys, Hunter and Brady, and kids of some of my closest friends. So when I think about investing time in them, it's just like investing in my family, our future, and the Army's future. This episode will focus on who they are, why they chose to serve, and some of the people who have inspired them along the way. I'd love to get your feedback on the structure of this episode and future episodes where we share the rest of their stories. I hope you enjoy this first part of our conversation. Tell us a little bit about like who you are, what you've been up to recently, and what do you got kind of coming up this next year or so?
All right. So I'm Second Lieutenant Keck. I'm a recent graduate of Texas A&M University, currently at Bullock. Got about 3 weeks left until I graduate and PCS to Fort Cavazos. And then shortly after that, my brigade's heading out to Poland. So I'll be going out there to...
That's awesome. That's key. Getting ready to go out to Poland. I say that because, man, such a special opportunity to know. You're getting ready to go in. Your unit's got a mission. It's got a good mission. It's going to have to go over there. It's going to make a difference. And you've got something, a North Star for your organization. What brigade is that going to be?
First, it's 1ABCT out of First Cav.
What was it that made you choose Texas A&M? What made you kind of go say, I'm going to serve in the Army in the first place?
Most of it was my dad. Growing up a military brat, I haven't really known anything different. I mean, we lived three or four different places in Texas. We've lived in Italy, now they're in Arkansas. I don't really have a different lifestyle to like compare it to. So I was like, all right, I'll just go and do that. And then Texas A&M, he was in the Corps. All I've ever heard is my parents, it's the best school in the world. We love it. I'm sure you got your own earful of it.
I learned a lot about Texas A&M through your mom and dad. I learned about West Point from other friends and family. I went to a school that doesn't even exist anymore. I went to Armstrong Atlantic State University in Savannah, Georgia. Now it's Georgia Southern campus in Savannah. And so like I went to a school that doesn't even exist. So my kids don't want to go to the school I went to.
Yeah.
Christy always tries to push them towards Georgia Southern, but they're always like, yeah, whatever, dad. You know, whatever, mom. I'm not going there. Why the Army? And then why not do something different? Like, why not the Navy? Why not the Air Force? Why not something different?
my dad was in the Army, my uncle's in the Army, my grandpa was in the Army. I had one grandpa in the Navy, but
I was always pushed just to go the officer route more than anything. So I guess they didn't care whether I was Army or Navy or Marines or Air Force, as long as I went the officer route, because I guess they had my best interest in mind. Like my grandpa always says, when I walked onto that ship going to Vietnam, we walked past the officer's quarters and they were huge, nice rooms. And then I walked to my quarters and it was just bunk on bunk on bunk on bunk and no AC. We had to like pry the doors open to get some air in. And then the Army route, I guess, just growing up around all of you guys, all the Army officers in my life, and even the Army enlisted guys like Sergeant Vinton and everything, it just seemed like the thing to do.
I would be interested in like your thoughts on like the enlisted versus becoming an officer. I've heard that more than once. Parents these days, they said, would you be willing for your if your kids chose to serve? And the number is really low if they enlist. But if they do go into the Army, we would want them to be an officer, and that number's higher. What are your thoughts on why that might be?
I think some of these parents who had fun or good college experiences, like my parents seemed to love college a lot, maybe they didn't want me to miss out on an experience like that, something they really enjoyed. And like, especially my dad doing the Corps of Cadets, that was like, seems like the best time of his life. And I can concur that it was like, up to this point, the best time of my life. So I would want to share that with my kids, that college experience, especially at A&M, that you can't really get anywhere else.
Yep. And probably the education, and they realize that if, you know, yes, some people do what I did, which is you enlist and then you later on go to college. But that number is smaller because other things happen. Life gets in the way. You know,
Exactly. You
get married, you have kids, and now all of a sudden it's hard to go off and go to college with a wife and kids and still pay the bills. And so luckily I had Christy who supported me, and we were like, if we could just make it through these first couple of years, like we're going to be okay, you know, cause then I'll be a lieutenant and then she'll be a registered nurse. But when we were both college students and we had Hunter, there was some uncertain times.
It's the Torres. I'm 21 years old. I joined the Army July of 2021. What I'm trying to do right now, this is my second attempt going through GRASP. So hopefully this works out. I've been training up for the past 2 years for this. So God is definitely on my side. This is like the holy grail of like my Army career right now, is just getting past RASP 1, which is like the most important thing to me. Ever since I failed my first attempt, I got hurt. The past 2 years, I've just been rehabbing my injury and, you know, physically and then even more mentally, just preparing just to take this next big step forward in my career. So it was straight out of basic training. I didn't have an option for it, but I got that contract in basic training. That was January, the beginning of January, I went to RASP and I instantly classed up and I injured myself. Like, I think it was like the fourth day of week one, about around there.
What drove you to the Army in the first place?
I was working at Dick's Sporting Goods for a while, and I'd always like deal with like veterans, and like I came from a military family like at all. I did have an uncle that was in the Army. He would talk to me a lot, and like at this point, like I was trying to go to the Navy. I don't know why I wanted to go to the Navy. I thought it was cool, and it's what I saw on, you know, social media, and I thought it was like, oh, the Navy, like so cool. But I did some digging. The one thing I remember, like the very first story he told me. So he was like an 88 Mike down at Savannah in Hunter. And I remember he was telling me that he was like on a detail to like pick up the Rangers parachutes and like ride them, drive them around like back to the shooting shed and all this stuff. And he just told me Rangers were all 11 Bravos, and all he heard was Ranger this, Ranger that. And he knew like those dudes got it done. So like ever since he told me that, I just been Ranger. Like I did all my like, I've looked it up. I watched so many videos, and that was like the number one thing. And I remember I couldn't get an option 40 signing my contract because I think my GT was like 1 point below, or like they didn't have any contracts at that point. But that's how I heard about the Army. It was my uncle. That's like the main one, just to be a Ranger.
You know, if you can imagine, like, hey, how do we get people interested in this? You're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth. Like, these are the ways that he found out about these things. Like right now, the 75th Ranger Regiment, there's not a lot of people that do a better job with their social media than them, you know? And it's just a shame that like a lot of times the Army is really slow to say, oh, maybe we should do something like that. Maybe we should come up with a way to make our brand look awesome. you know? Mm-hmm. But if we, if the things that we support are funny TikTok videos making fun of the Army and their chain of command, well, now that just became cool, you know? And that shit ain't cool. What's cool is fucking being a, being fucking badass, you know? Who were some of the people that influenced you growing up?
I was kind of used to like the up-down culture. I played football for 4 years in high school, so like, and my coaches were all super like hardcore. Like my coaches didn't give no, they didn't care at all. And I remember we were just getting our senior at the time, and I played quarterback, so like they were always calling on me, like kind of like the Army, kind of like the military, like you're always getting called out, like if you mess something up. And like I think it's like just a government, like they'll, you know, if you do something wrong, like you're going to get punished for it. Or like if you don't know something, you're going to get punished for it. And like if you fail, the whole team fails. So like I kind of got that like that atmosphere. My coaches definitely like were a really big part. They've always like talked to me like, so what do you want to do? And like I didn't want to go to college because I wasn't going to college to play football, but I was just like way too short as a quarterback. So like that was just instantly out of the window. And then I told him, I was like, hey, like I want to be a Ranger. And then one of my coaches was talking to me and he said he had a son that, I think his son just had like a Ranger tab or his nephew somewhere about that. But like then I talked to his son. His son came to practice one time. Like I talked to him and like he was like telling me like, oh, how like cool it is. And he was telling me like which route to go. And like 11 Bravo was like the best MOS to get into because they get all the opportunities. He wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong whatsoever. And like I listened to him and though, like I wouldn't say like I'm up there, but like I definitely gotten a lot of opportunities. The ones that I've taken like have helped me so much. But like definitely my coaches and like my father too. So like my father, he has a fake elbow. His knees are torn up and this dude's like in late 40s and he is still pushing it. And like he's going to work every day and like he's doing everything. So like I think I got like all my motivation and hard work from my dad and like that influence from like my coaches and like put it together. And like nothing's going to stop me. Like if you have the right mindset, like that's what pushed me. So that's what was in my head at the time.
Yeah, I love that comment about the right mindset and people setting a good example for you. So if you can, like, just tell us a little bit about like who you are, what you're doing right now, and like what's the next year look like for you?
Okay, so I'm Clay Cashman. I go to University of South Alabama. I am currently getting my major in mechanical engineering, and I am soon to be commissioning as a second lieutenant in the Army, hopefully in 5 weeks. After that's done, hopefully sometime mid-April, I'll get my bullet date. Because if it's a bullet date that's too far out, then I'll have to serve as Camp Cadre to get that.
What kind of drove you in the direction of service in the first place?
So for me, I was hoping to make a difference. There's a lot of instability in the world right now. And I'm just hoping that I could provide a service to our country and hopefully prepare it to defend our national interests. And like it's a peacetime army right now. So, you know, things are changing up a little bit. The older generation of soldiers, they're getting out right now, which kind of concerns me a little bit because I don't know if like the new guys are going to be able to, you know, really learn from the older generation. I'm hoping that with the little knowledge that I've gained as a young adult and from growing up with my father who served, I'm hoping that I can, you know, lead younger soldiers and shape them into the soldiers that they need to be.
Yeah. When you say like, you hope that, you know, people like you get to learn from some of the older generations with a lot of them, you know, starting to get out right now. What are some of the things that you would want to learn from them the most?
Honestly, their experiences and with dealing with situations, the older NCOs, they've pretty much seen most of what younger guys are probably going to deal with or what they're going through. So learning from them and learning how they dealt with those situations, I can take that experience, maybe help a soldier that, you know, I see is going through this tough time and I can use that experience and help them out.
Yeah. You know, sometimes just because people have been through things doesn't mean they necessarily handled it properly. It also doesn't mean they know the best answers. You know, it just means we're older. It just means we got started, you know, a while ago. We had certain opportunities to be able to go and try things and screw them up. So the people that can be the most honest with you and say, hey man, I didn't do a good job at that. I screwed that up but here's the pitfall. And then it allows you as a person in a totally different environment, in a different world, with different things happening around the world, you're going to have to make decisions and you're going to have to do things your way because you're going to be the leader and you're the one, you're going to have to do it differently than the way I did it, differently than when your dad did it, differently than the way somebody might have done it with their five deployments. Your one deployment that you come up on, your first one, the one thing I can guarantee is that your first deployment will be completely different than any deployment I've ever been on. It's going to be different. That's the one thing we know for sure. Let's get you talking a little bit, you know. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing right now.
Yeah, so I'm Donald Neal, commissioned in 2022. Right now I'm in New Naval Station, Newport, Rhode Island, about a week out from starting Supply Corps School in the Navy. It's about a 12-week program. Before that, I was in Pensacola, Florida, waiting to start flight school, and then decided to come over to the Supply Corps. I had a bunch of options, but Supply Corps kind of seemed like the best thing for me as far as getting from the aviation community, which is very technical based and a lot of studying, to the Supply Corps community, where it's more about leading enlisted sailors to be able to supply equipment, have food on the ship, fueling, budgets for your commands, all that stuff. So it's very different.
What made you choose to serve, regardless of the branch? Like, what made you choose to serve in the first place?
Well, I chose to serve initially because the main reason why I served is because I grew up as an Army brat. My dad's, he joined the Army, and as a result of that, we did a lot of traveling. We had a lot of really cool experiences. I really thrived in that situation. I had a really good time just constantly traveling around, seeing the world, and kind of also just fell in love with the culture that my dad was in, where it was just like, it was so people oriented all the time. When it came to my senior year of high school, I was basically making the decision of whether or not I wanted to pursue music or I wanted to pursue the military. So it was me deciding between going to Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, or me going to the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, which great schools, and also the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. I had also got accepted there. I ultimately decided that I wanted to go into the Navy. That was for a lot of reasons. Naval aviation, the idea of flying off of an aircraft carrier just sounded super cool to me. I love the jets. I still love the jets. It's one of the most enjoyable things that I've gotten to do since I joined, was getting to fly backseat in a growler. It was super cool. I wanted to be in a little bit of a diverse and urban area, so I kind of decided to go into the Naval Academy, and don't regret my decision at all. So it's been awesome.
Give us a little update on what you're doing right now. Like, what have you been up to over the last couple of years? Okay. And where are you getting ready to step off into?
All right. Awesome. So my name is Jesse Swinehart. Just graduated from college last year, went to California Maritime Academy, one of the six non-federally funded maritime academies. In the past couple years, really, it's just been school and getting ready to start a career in the military. I was I was pretty overweight for the majority of my childhood. Past couple years, I got really into fitness. Actually, your Instagram page helped me during COVID, your outdoor runs, you posting about that stuff. I was like, man, I should really start running. So I did that. And then the fall semester went by and I was in a leadership position at school where I was just really stressed out, in charge of this billet where nobody cared about guarding the federal port. And I was like, hey guys, we got to do this. So I wasn't working out that much. I was on call 24/7 and I didn't know how to manage my time that well. Then it was a winter break. I saw your post and then right under was David Goggins. And I was just like, this is a sign. So I decided to start working out. So really the past couple of years has just been me working out, getting ready for the military, trying to develop as a leader as best as possible by doing stuff through school and even outside of school, my internship. I worked at a courthouse. I was interned for Thurston County Courts up in Washington State here, where my mom's working on JBLM, and I learned a lot about responsibility because everything I did affected somebody's life. So it helped me learn how to keep staying in the now, I guess, and try and help people to the best of my ability. I was on my way to the Navy, actually, which I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear. It was like the best fit based off the school I went to, but my personality, after talking to my mom and praying on it a lot, it honestly just wasn't a good fit. I was thinking about it, like, you know, sitting on a boat for 20 years, just driving a boat. It was not really in the cards. I'm more of a physical guy now since I started working out. So decided to make the change after a lot of prayer to try and go in the Army. So I'm in that process right now. Honestly, I feel really good about it. I feel a lot more excited and a lot more hopeful about like a good, impactful career in the military, being part of the Army's team rather than being part of the Navy's team.
And what were some of the things that like drove you, you know, to go to the Maritime Academy? What was something that kind of drove you to say, I think I want to serve, and if I do serve, I'm thinking about potentially even serving long term.
Definitely picking a school with a Corps of Cadets was top priority on my list. So I didn't apply to any on the East Coast because that's far from family. I'm originally from California. So I was like, I'm going to try and stay central to the West. So I applied to Texas A&M Maritime, Texas A&M, and California Maritime. And I got into all three. And like, it really came down to what was going to be the best fit for me, like somewhere where I'd feel comfortable. It came down to California Maritime, and it really wasn't like, would I rather go to a normal college or a school with a Corps of Cadets? It was more of like, what will set me up better and give me the tools needed to become a better leader at the end of the day? Because at normal colleges, like my school is right next to Cal Berkeley. All the kids do there is party, go to class, get their 2.5 GPA, and go into the corporate world. And I was like, well, I want to go to school that's going to challenge me, make me want to do better every day, make me a better man at the end of the day as well. And I think any school with the Corps of Cadets will do that. I think Cole's a good example. I don't know if you know the Larsons. Jacob Larson went to the Citadel. It's another great school with the Corps of Cadets that has a great, you know, core tenet and makes great leaders.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what's kind of the, what are you working on right now?
So I am Joshua Knight. I'm a Sergeant First Class in the United States Army. I'm currently at the University of Central Arkansas in Conway, Arkansas, the city of colleges. I got really lucky with this assignment. I came from Fort Campbell, Kentucky as a platoon sergeant. Before then, I came from Fort Bragg and then 173rd and then first of the 225th in Fort Wainwright, Alaska. Right now, I'm a senior sergeant first class, and I'm a military science instructor. I teach MS3s, the juniors, over at the ROTC program here. Majority of the reason I teach the tactics, being an infantryman by trade, I teach them their tactics before they go to summer camp. So they're squared away and they have a very good understanding. And then hopefully I'll get Master Sergeant while I'm here. While I'm here, I recently got accepted to go to school. So I'm trying to leave with an associate's, if not a bachelor's in environmental science. I don't plan on going past Master Sergeant, or I don't have any aspirations as of now to go, you know, Sergeant Major. I want to get out, do my 20, and then go be a game warden back in the great state of Texas.
Amen.
That's the plan as of now.
What drove you to the Army to serve in the first place?
I was kind of headed in the wrong direction when I was younger. My mom and dad had everything. I mean, they gave me everything. They were both blue collar. As I got older, I realized, you know, my dad was in the Army. He didn't talk about it. He was in Vietnam, did 6 years, 2 deployments. I don't know much about it. I know that he was in long range surveillance patrols, what is now known as the 75th Ranger Regiment. When it first initially got started, I believe in 65 or 66, I did most of the research myself. He passed away, unfortunately, when I was really young, at the age of 14. So having that experience in my life, my dad was there for me all the way up until, you know, unfortunately, unexpectedly died of a blood clot. Seeing that, I needed that motivation. I saw what kind of dad and father he was and how other people really adored him. I was the only son. So that was really my motivation, seeing my dad and all he created, all he did. I didn't know that until after the fact. He passed away, and I saw his duty 214. What I know now is that and all his medical records and his BA and like seeing kind of his resume from the Army at that time. My dad was, he ended his career as a staff sergeant, and I just saw what he did and what he accomplished. And seeing that scroll, that Ranger tab, like seeing all those, the CIB, didn't know anything about it, but I essentially followed in my father's footsteps. And then again, later on, found out that my grandpa was in the Army. So it's kind of a family tradition, a lineage, you know, everyone that I know of. My uncle was a mechanic on F-16s in Vietnam. So I just kind of grew up around it. And it was either that or college. And I really had no desire to go to college at the time. Like I said, I really needed direction. And my mom kind of was like, hey, have you thought about the military? Because I was a hard-headed, I like to say a punk kid. Not that I was a hoodlum, but more of like to explore, have fun like any other kid. I grew up in the 90s. I would say my father by far was my motivation. And then my best friend joined. He was a 13 Bravo. So I saw that and I just, you know, I needed to do something with my life. So. Yeah.
And I assume, why'd you choose the infantry? Just to be like your dad?
Absolutely. 100% hands down. Yeah. Just to be like him. And then I kind of walked in the recruiter office back in the glory days when, you know, they could actually talk to you and like sit down with you. And my recruiter at the time, he literally took me to Fuddruckers in Odessa, Texas, which is attached in the mall, and bought me a beer. I was obviously underage, but bought me a beer and I had a big old hamburger. And, you know, I was a broke high school kid just trying to make, you know, I didn't have no money. So I was like, this is really cool. And he was like, you seem like a hard headed mother trucker, dude. He's like, have you thought about the infantry? And he's like, I'm infantry. Show me some videos. And I knew my dad was down that, you know, down that lane. And I was like, you know what? I don't see myself doing anything else. And obviously, I've always been into like World War II and that brute honesty of like that dirty, nasty grunt being in the, you know, the foxhole and just band of brothers, like all that, you know, all the stereotypical stuff.
Yeah.
Like it just, that's what motivated me. And I wanted to be just like my dad, obviously. And so there was no other choice for me. So I signed 11 X-ray at the time in 2010.
Yeah. I feel like I've been in the Army long enough to know like when someone's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And like, I remember it like it was yesterday, my first day in First Rock heading out to Juliet Drop Zone. And I remember you getting in the back seat of the same car and we were driving out there.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. I just got back from Ranger School. So I grew up in the 25th in Alaska from 2010 to 14. And then I went to Ranger School, got airborne qualified. And I was like, man, what can I do? Like, I want to get my airborne experience because I had a goal.
Tune into our next episode where you can hear Josh and the rest of this crew talk more about their experiences, talk about the things that they've enjoyed the most about serving, some of the things that they're looking forward to about serving. They'll talk about things that leaders do to create positive and sometimes negative experiences. They'll talk about some of the things that they're not looking forward to about serving and some of the disappointing things that have already happened throughout their time or potentially could happen to them in the future. So tune in to the next episode where we'll share the next part of these conversations. Thanks for listening today. I hope we sparked some thoughts about the people that have inspired you to be who you are today. I hope you share some of your thoughts and better yet demonstrate them for the people in your life. Our pursuit is to get a little bit better every day. Progress equals small victories stacked on top of each other, building like compound interest. Keep stacking these positive habits. Habits like getting up early, working your butt off, learning something new, being positive, and surrounding yourself with phenomenal people. Please share your comments at the links in the show notes and DM us at Teach Me to Fish podcast on Instagram or Facebook. Looking forward to our next conversation. Sky on your mind.